Life with the Girlfriends.
With Christine Marie and Julie.
Our mom would like to say more life.
That's right.
Because we're about putting more life into our life, because we may have another life for this, but
right.
We only have this life at this moment in this time.
And, you know, we're not the only people that are talking about the four-letter word M-O-R-E.
No.
Lots of people are talking about more.
And they're not talking about in the sense of, I got to get more in, like,
no.
I want more stuff.
Yeah.
No, mostly people are like, I don't want any more stuff.
Right.
You know, maybe a new car once in a while will be okay, but even that seems like a hassle sometimes.
You
like,
know, isn't it true? Like, I was so excited when, I bought the camper last year.
Yes,
right?
You were. You were.
Woo, camper, you know. And then, do you have insurance?
Yeah.
Do you have the hitch? Do you have a proper hitch?
Yes.
Do you have this? Do
it's
you
in
have
New
the
Jersey.
Jack?
I got to bring it over here.
And you went, oops.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forget.
That's right.
That's the more life, right?
Well,
we talk about more life.
More life.
More life.
And that behind that camper was initially more life.
Yes.
And it's so funny because Tony Robbins talks about that a little bit about, he gives an example about how you may want to go to Europe, but then all of a sudden you're inundated with all the little things that must get done.
Yes.
But if you chunk it all together, all you're doing is going to Europe.
Yeah.
All you do is buy a camper.
Right.
You didn't buy all the problems that went with it. Or did you? What did you do with the camper?
Exactly. And
you
then you
got to
clean the side of your house out, you know.
Yeah.
Come on. This is cray cray.
And then you're realizing, I haven't been in that camper in a long time.
Wait, I got to go camping? No,
I don't want to go camping.
No, I just want to stay home in my nice way. Yeah, exactly.
But it satisfied a need for you.
It did, didn't it?
And it was. So anyway, if you don't know who we are, we're mother-daughter coaching team, really. We're much more than that, though.
Yeah.
We're teachers.
We're
educators.
Much more than that.
More than that. And we love to, hopefully in an entertaining way, talk about more life.
Yes.
And have some fun with it.
Yeah, it's our life.
But talk about in great, fun ways. Our life.
Right. We talk about our life as the girlfriends. And then we talk about, some principles and some takeaways.
Like today, we're going to definitely talk about, we're going to talk about a lot of different things. We're going to talk about the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about relationships during the holiday. We're going to talk about how we really are our decisions and how they really lead to our destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And if I have time, I'm going to talk about the supernatural.
Oh. Does that mean we're going to talk Fargo?
Yes, we're going to definitely talk Fargo. And we're going to also talk about the Hunger Games, which I saw.
Yes.
And we're just going to, we only have 55 minutes, so it may come across like, boy, these ladies are putting a lot in.
Well, people have said to me, sincerely, really,
yes.
Wait a minute, you talk for an hour, you and Julie, every week? I go, yeah, but how do you do that? How do you come up with stuff to say? Like, my God, we have no problem.
Yeah, that is the one thing. Sometimes we'll have talked here and there about the week, and then, let's hear this for the radio. Let's hear this for the radio. This is awesome.
Right.
And then, so when even if you and I haven't been able to talk right before the show,
right.
I am never concerned.
No.
Because you and I can find something to talk about for an hour. And
whether it's interesting, I don't know. But
exactly.
Whether it's something someone else wants to hear.
That's it,
I don't know.
I don't know either.
We do.
But we want to hear it. And,
that's right.
And also, I want to talk to you, sweetheart, for an hour every Sunday night.
That's
it
right.
ends my week and starts my week.
That's right.
And it feels great.
Same here, sweetie.
Aw, thank you, sweetheart. And I hope everybody out there feels the same love as well.
And
I know my brother does, because when he hears it, he goes, I'm so happy I get to hear you guys an hour a week on my podcast.
That's right.
He goes there and, listens to us on bbsradio.com /
Life with the Girlfriends.
Downloads us right there.
Yeah. And he actually co-hosted with me when you were down with the cold, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Lost your voice.
And I thought I would never get it back, which I always do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is going to be one of those whole season colds. But it's not.
Yeah.
I'm actually sitting in my phone, and around me I just have water. I don't have cough drops.
Right.
That.
You are well.
I am well. And this is the fastest recovery I've ever had in a long time.
Yes.
I am physically healed. I love that. Thank you.
You are.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's talk about Thanksgiving, because we just had it.
Because it just happened.
It just happened.
Yes.
And this idea of also Friendsgiving, I want to talk about.
Yeah, I heard that more than once.
Yeah.
Happy Friendsgiving.
Yeah, hashtag Friendsgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm waiting for the day that our hashtag Faber takes off.
Yes.
You know?
And we're coining that, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay. And I want to license it so that when somebody makes a song about it, I get royalties.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm really
doing
into royalties right now.
For my neighbor. Calling it a
favor.
Oh, yeah. that I can see it now.
That's a country and western tune.
Yeah. Won't you do a favor for your neighbor? Hashtag favor. I can see it.
Well, speaking of favors for your neighbor, I mean, we had, how many dogs did we have in the van?
Four.
The day before Thanksgiving.
Four.
Four, yeah. It was Katie Lou.
Yes.
Trip.
Yes.
Sadie.
Sadie.
And then our little Elliot.
Which I feel so bad about.
Yeah.
Because he's the one.
He suffers.
Because he's the one that gets crated in the back of the van.
Yeah.
And the other three dogs are pretty content.
They're all good doggies.
For the most part.
See, our neighbor who normally takes Elliot, she owns a dog park. And a whole kind of a thing, like a spa, and they play,
yes.
And they overnight and all that. But she broke her foot.
Yes.
And so now she's got, like, how many dogs does she have? Four?
Yes.
Yeah. And so we go to her house, and while she's recovering from her surgery, we pick the dogs up and take them to our local dog park.
Yes. We run Elliot like crazy. We run the dogs like crazy.
Yes.
And we're calling it our Faber.
Yes.
Because and it was so cute because the first couple times we were doing it, we just took Trip
and Katie
and
Lou.
Katie Lou.
Yeah.
Because Katie Lou's a little puppy and she's just as sweet as can
oh
be.
My God.
And you enjoy it.
I love her.
Yes. And Trip
unabashedly love her.
And Trip's a big, like they call a Wheaton Terrier a large dog, which I can't believe it.
Yeah, really.
But so Trip's a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah.
And but he's a 2-year-old and mm-hmm. Trip and a male and Trip and Elliot. They play hard.
Yes.
And sometimes it looks a little aggressive, and I've had to separate them a couple times.
Yeah, sometimes it looks like the possibility exists that our Elliot may be bully, like a bully.
Yes.
But I don't see it. Well, I don't want to see that.
Well, no, but it's also Trip who does it as well.
Oh, good.
Because if you don't open your mouth to Elliot, he won't open his mouth to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like show if you don't show your teeth to him, he won't show his teeth to you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you show him your teeth, he's going to show him yours. And then it's on.
And we've never taught him that.
No.
That's just instinctual.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure we never taught him that. That
you
know, way he's there.
I'm baring my teeth to you.
Exactly. Exactly. And we've had some hurdles that we've jumped over this holiday, or like just some new levels we've reached with him, Elliot.
Yeah.
Like he slept out of his crate a couple
of
times over the holiday weekend.
Oh, my gosh, Julie. Mm-hmm. He slept at your feet.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Yeah.
And then the third day I tried and you know, I gave him his blanket mm-hmm. And then he was just like biting my feet, like, come on, let's play.
Yeah, he couldn't.
I'm like, you're going to your crate now.
Great time.
Great time.
We have this thing now, we try and make it happy time.
Yeah.
We go, great time.
Great time.
He gets an ice cube and he gets a little piece of
cheese.
Mm-hmm. Great time.
Yes, and you guys bought him a very big bone yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and then he had almost halfway eaten.
Yes.
And then you're like, that's the fastest $10 I've ever spent.
That was amazing, because the little guy has, I guess in if they're from Ireland or somewhere, but they're kind of like rat catchers. Did not know that, but that's kind of their forte, right?
Oh,
so
right.
He's got really big teeth.
Right.
Like a little Charlie Ray. He was a border collie, and he had, like, the most beautiful little teeth.
Yeah,
just
he did.
Beautiful.
Angel teeth. You get to call them angel teeth.
We did call them angel teeth, and because he had angel teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot, his teeth are...
full-blown.
Yeah.
He'll cut a rat.
Yeah.
I think they're meant for possum eating, too, and mm-hmm. raccoons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they're from the border, I think, of Scotland and Wales, if they border each other.
Oh,
I think
really?
That's how it works.
Okay.
Or is it Ireland? I think it's Scotland and Wales. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Because Ireland's only an island. And so I think it's Scotland and Wales, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's kind of good because my grandfather was from Wales.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Fine line. Fine lineage.
You know, so how was your holiday? How was your Thanksgiving?
My actual Thanksgiving.
Well, let's call it a 5-day weekend.
Yeah.
Wednesday through Sunday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole weekend's the whole week was kind of a blur because we've got a lot of things that we're doing.
Right.
We bought another truck and we're putting it on another at another place, and it's blah 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 boring but also intense, you know.
Yes.
But Thursday, I mean, I was, you know, initially, Jill, we talked about, are we going to do Thanksgiving? You know,
yes.
It's just going to be the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we kind of decided to do Thanksgiving light. You know, we made the traditional food. And it was, and you did a wonderful job, honestly. It was all delicious. But I could, after I was done with it, it was like,
I'm done with it.
It was just done.
Yeah.
I was like, everything had the same texture. You know, sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes,
gravy casserole,
dressing. It was just like, it all was just the same texture to me.
Yeah.
But the highlight of my day was I, since it was very quiet, you know, Greg's in Disneyland with the family and kids, I binge-watched Fargo.
Yes.
And by far, it's my favorite show ever. Ever in the annals of history. I love this show.
I turned you on to season one about a month ago.
Yes.
And you binge-watched it.
Yes.
Binge-watched it. And then you, like,
what
I can't,
heck?
After the first episode, you said to me, because I was talking to you about, like, you know, Mom, I'm kind of binging this show.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, whatever.
Fargo, I liked the movie, but I wasn't, like, in love with the movie.
Right.
I'm like, you know what? You got to watch it one episode. Just watch one episode.
Right.
And you did. And then you and Dad were just
like
on a marathon race. We're like,
yes.
What's going on?
What is this?
This is amazing. Oh, my God. I can't believe it's on TV.
I love the writing. I love the directing.
Yeah.
If it's the Coen brothers, you know, I love that sensibility.
You know what?
And we're not that far from Minnesota.
No.
So we know what these people, when they talk like this, you know. And,
we're all there for
that.
Well, I think it's so cute, too, because your TV, I swear, if you could wear out a channel, HGTV would be worn out.
Exactly.
And it's on, I would say, 80% of the time when you're watching TV.
Yes.
Mostly because it's just background
noise. Either HGTV or The Voice.
Yes.
Or Fargo. Mm-hmm.
But I think because you're not, you know, you're not really into the drama stuff.
No.
You watch some, you know, Two Broke Girls on reruns and, like, you know, things like that. I think it was like, it just floored you how great Fargo was.
Right.
And so here we are in the, like, episode 7 of the new series. We're not giving anything away. Don't
worry.
Not
at all, yeah.
But we can recommend it. Binge on it.
Well, why would we give, even if we gave it away, I could tell you it is still worth watching.
Yes. Well, in the end hasn't happened yet either.
Yes.
But yes, for sure, it is still worth watching for the acting, for the words. I'm just loving it.
Yes.
And
these people act the shit out of it.
They act the shit out of it.
Wow.
So it's intense. Yeah.
Yes.
It's intense. And, you know, I saw the Fargo games. I saw the Hunger Games over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I made the mistake. I saw it with family, with Doug's family.
Mm-hmm.
So about 6 of us went out there. Whoever wanted to go could go. And we got our good seats, which is awesome. It was very funny. Cause I should tell you my dream I had, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I went to Hunger Games, and Doug and I were like, bored out of our gourds, bored out of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and everybody else was like applauding,
at the end, people applauded. And I'm like, I must have missed the boat in this Hunger Games, man. I just cannot get into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember hearing a review of it, and a person, you know, in their 50s, you know, who reviews movies, saying, you know, it was good. I give it 3 stars, and I'll tell you what, Jennifer Lawrence acted the crap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, yeah, she did. She acted, you could tell she's a seasoned actress.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell at a very early age she was nominated for an Academy Award, you know, mm-hmm. And she's done all this stuff, and you're like, yes, yeah, she's just a great actress.
Right.
And but I was like, I'm not getting it. I don't care anymore. And then there were some tense moments in excitement, or what do you call it, drama, action, for sure. There was some of that. But when it was all said and done, I'm like, okay, thank you. I'm glad it's over. Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And I had watched all but the last one, I mean the one before this.
Right.
This is Mockingjay Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that didn't help me at all. I should have watched Mockingjay Part 1,
oh.
which I tried to do mm-hmm. over the week before the movie, but I just couldn't squeeze it in anywhere.
So overall, you're saying that The Hunger Games simply was a vehicle for popcorn.
And I hate popcorn.
That's right.
It was kind of funny because I went with Doug and his daughter and her husband and then his Doug's sister and her husband. And you know, I brought two purses along. I brought my movie purse and I brought my purse because now don't anybody to email me and say the movie theaters make money off of you. Don't bring food into the theater. We buy food, okay? Because Doug loves popcorn.
Hey, that sounds like a podcast.
It's the Doug Loves Movie. But Doug loves some popcorn. And he loves Diet Coke. Now, I don't drink Diet Coke, and I hate popcorn. I love popcorn, but I don't like the kernels in my teeth.
Not only that, but, I mean, you do like popcorn, but I've never seen you eat, like, more than 4 or 5 kernels.
That's exactly. Unless,
what do they call them? Yeah.
Unless it's, you know, what kind?
Caramel corn cheese.
Yep, from Garrett's. That I can eat a whole bag because...
Yes.
First of all, their popcorn is so premium. When
yes.
pop, there's no kernel.
Right.
I mean, it's just awesome
premium
popcorn. Yeah.
Now you're making me want to get a food crawl into the city.
Right. And there you go. So anyway, we saw. I know. maybe we'll still try for my birthday.
Mm.
But we I saw. Went there. Saw the games, Hunger Games. I don't know where I was leading this, but. And so I brought in my movie purse.
That's right.
Because I had a bottle of water. And I had some little miniature candies,
mm-hmm.
and I had some, I think, crackers I brought along.
Mm-hmm.
And I was content, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But truly, and so we buy our popcorn and our soda there, but there literally is nothing that I want at the movie theater.
Right, right.
You know, so that's why I do it. So we say Hunger Games, I guess if you want to finish it out, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving it 2 stars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty generous on my account.
Don't you think it's kind of interesting, though, like, that, I mean, in the old days, like old, old-timey days, like in the 40s and the 50s, it was like Carol Lombard and maybe, I don't know, not Cary Grant, but I mean, there were duos.
Yeah.
There were these duos, like, and it's kind of funny because Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper are becoming like that. I just saw a commercial for another movie coming out in December. I think it's called Joy, where it's Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper.
Yes.
And I think that's kind of interesting because, like I said, I can't think of the guy's name, Carol Lombard, and I don't know, but they, you know, like Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire.
Right.
You know, there would be these couples that would
right.
make movies over and over and over again,
right.
you know. And I think that's what's kind of happening with
Yeah, and they're
Jennifer
not usually,
Lawrence.
I don't know if they're couples in Joy or not. Joy looks actually like a kind of a fun movie, but...
No, he's in there, though.
He is in there, but I don't know if he's a love interest.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, I understand that.
I wonder if it's the director, or some kind of casting agent that they're working together with.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a director. I could
mm-hmm.
be wrong. Because in the movie Silver Lining
Playbook,
mm-hmm. Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper were in it, right?
Right, right.
Then American Hustle, Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper were in it, not even closely in the same scenes,
mm-hmm.
nothing like that, but they were still in it
right.
together.
Right.
And so now you have it in Joy, and so I don't know what it's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, and so I don't know if it's the director that, like, hey, I like these people. I
mm-hmm.
like working with these people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put them on my movie no matter what I do, you know?
Yeah, now, didn't we find that same sort of thing happening was it with Fargo that how they got to?
Well, it was interesting because
we kind of did a 6 degree of separation kind of thing with Fargo.
Well, in Fargo, you've got Donovan, something Donovan.
Yes, Donovan Tate?
No, the guy, okay, so think back to Burn Notice.
Yeah, Burn Notice, that
guy. That was canceled
two
or 3 years ago. And I think just 2 years ago maybe. Anyway, so the lead in Burn Notice is in Fargo. And then also Bruce Campbell, who played in Burn Notice, is also in Fargo.
Yes.
And so you're like, well, how did this happen? Because Bruce Campbell plays Ronald Reagan. And you said to me, Mom, when you saw it, you're like, I couldn't pick him out.
No.
I wouldn't. I know who Bruce Campbell is.
I love Bruce Campbell.
I couldn't tell you that was Bruce Campbell.
Yeah.
I said, no, I know he's playing Ronald Reagan. He's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't it fascinating?
It was like an out-of-body experience for me.
Yeah.
Julie and I were watching this
and
show.
And Norm was too, Dad, too.
And Dad, yeah.
Yeah.
And you want to tell?
No, I want you to tell.
Okay, I will. And so we're, and all of a sudden, it takes place during the time where Ronald Reagan is governor of California, but he's also going to be running for president. And so he stops in this town, and so he's basically having like a I don't know if he is thinking out loud or whatever, but
he's narrating
a speech, and we're sitting there, and he goes,
but all we see is the background of either Minnesota or South Dakota or North Dakota.
Right.
We're just seeing flat plains wintertime.
Yes,
and we're hearing about how it's. You know, it's times were difficult, but none were as difficult as it was during the Depression on the Rock River in Dixon, Illinois.
Like, what? And we went, what? Say what?
Thank God for the hopper, because you rewound it.
I did. I rewound it. Did he just say Dixon, Illinois?
Exactly.
And then he talked about the 77 people that he rescued as a lifeguard. And we have a little statue in the middle of town dedicated to... Well,
he's on a horse.
He's on a horse, but there's a different statue. I guess it's in somebody's lawn.
Yes.
He's in a swimming suit.
Which I haven't seen that person in the yard in a long time.
Yeah, but he's in a swimming suit.
Do you think they moved and they took the statue with them?
Oh, I don't know.
I have not seen
it
in a while.
And it just says dedicated to the 77 people
that Ronald Reagan saved.
Saved.
Yes.
And then he started talking about the World War II. To the guy.
Yes.
And it was funny because I remember in that I heard that in those days that if you were an actor, you didn't have to go to World War II if you committed to making war movies.
Right. You either were, with the troops or you entertained the troops.
Yes.
And,
He chose
to entertain the troops.
That's right. That's right.
That's exactly right. Very good for him.
But wasn't that freaky? We're like Dixon on the Rock River in Dixon, Illinois. We're like a mile from the Rock River.
Oh, I know. It was
not
crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy. You know, I just want to bring up Gregory really quick because he's in Disney World. And
yes.
Not having the best of time.
No. He's there for a week and he's got the FLU.
Yes. Spell it differently.
How do you spell it?
I have no idea. I was going to spell full. F-U-L-L. I'm like, full. He got the full.
He's got the dyslexic full.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And he got it bad.
Yeah.
He got it bad. He got the first night he got there.
Yeah.
He doesn't know where he got it from.
And it was so funny because he was like on the, all the days before when he was home, there's going to be a buffet. That's going to be homemade wine. It's going to be
dieting beforehand because he knew he was going to gain weight.
It's going to be a food orgy.
Yeah.
And anything he's just eating, he's throwing up. And can we say something else about him?
Well, there's that one joke.
Mm-hmm.
Do you call it, remember that one joke? It's like, I'm so regular. You know, I get up, I go to the bathroom at 7, I pee at 7, and I poop at 8. I don't get them till 9.
Can we just say that Gregory
is
got up
joke?
At 9?
Got up at 9. That's what we're going to say. Greg got up at 9.
That's what we're calling it.
That's what we're calling it. Yeah, that's our new code word.
Yes.
Oh, I got up at 9.
Man, I got up at 9 this morning.
Let's hashtag got up at 9.
That's right. And then, can we say that then? Hashtag Faber, like what we call the Faber for a neighbor.
Faber for a neighbor. Hashtag
and then
Faber.
Hashtag
got up at nine. Yeah, we all know what that means now.
No.
And it was so, I felt so bad for him because he said, "Oh, my wife and my two girls were in bed with me this morning, and I just couldn't do it." And it was like, and I'm like, I felt so embarrassed. And then he said, "My sister-in-law's in the other room with her baby," and I'm like, "Thank God she wasn't like in the same room with me." Like, really? Thank God for her.
That'd be a little too close.
Exactly. So I felt really bad. And then today I texted him, "How you doing?" And he goes, "I'm doing better." He goes, "My wife has it now, and she hates me."
Oh my God! Can you imagine though, just being sick in Disney World?
Because. No, I
the
really can't.
The happiest place on earth?
But not just that. Your body, your senses are being pulverized or bombarded.
Yes.
Your taste, your sights, your hearing, the movement. I mean, if you're going on rides,
oh,
you're being thrown around.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, I mean, when you have the flu, everything shuts down.
Yes.
You can't move. You can't.
No.
And it's so
everything
funny.
Aches. Too.
Yeah.
Like, just like deep in your thighs.
Oh, for sure. And it was so funny. Several times in the last 2 weeks, I have felt like something was coming on me, like the flu.
And we don't receive
it. And I just kept saying, Jesus Christ, babe, I am not, I am healed. I am healthy. I only see myself healthy. I am talking to this. Whatever is in my body, it's out of me. I am healthy, healthy, healthy. Mm-hmm. And like the next morning I wake up, I'm like, I feel great.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I have felt that the aches, the twinge in the stomach, all that stuff. And you're like, okay, good. I'm on track. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so forth. So I guess I could get a flu shot, but I don't know.
Julie, come on.
I know. The only reason why is that I know people who say, I always feel so bad after my flu shot. I'm like, well, why don't you just get the flu then? Or it didn't work for this kind of flu. They're guessing
I always
anyway.
Like that one Tamiflu commercial.
Yeah.
And it goes like this, you know. And they had to get this Tamiflu and eradicate like 1.5 days off the flu shot. Like 1.5 days?
1.5 days?
You gotta take all this medicine?
For... And also all this, I mean, they said if you are not, feel like you're not yourself, contact your doctor right away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean? Who do you feel like if you don't feel like yourself?
Exactly. I'm like, well, I don't usually feel like myself when I have the flu anyway. But when you realize it's just, you know, 1.5 days different, I'm like, well, I'll take the 1.5 days.
Yeah, because, you know, maybe you might be binge-watching Fargo.
Maybe you will.
During that 1.5 days.
Like, exactly.
Do you think people know that I really like Fargo?
I think they're getting a clue.
Yeah, I get the clue.
So during my Thanksgiving, because we were busy with the truck for the whole weekend.
Yes,
and the whole week. It really just felt like a week that just was disappeared.
Yes.
Everything I wanted to do, I didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have to spend time with Doug, and you reminded me of that, I did spend time with Doug this...
Not just Doug, but his family.
Well, because they come as a package.
It's a package deal, yeah.
You know, I don't package you and Dad up like he packages his family
I'm so
up.
Grateful.
Oh, I know you are. I know that you would prefer to have it any other way.
Yeah, I'm perfectly content not to, be that friendly.
Yeah, you're like, hey, I know you, Doug.
Happy Friends Thanksgiving.
Exactly, and well, because his sister's still in town, and this is the last week she left today, and with her husband, they're going back to Tennessee. But it was her sister. It was his sister that called me 2 weekends ago. Saying, oh, Doug woke up kind of drowsy and kind of, you know, slurring his words. Is that what he does? I'm like, no.
And he's on the floor.
And then I get there, he's on the floor now. And so that, you know, it was been a very interesting 2 weeks for them. They've bonded over a lot of different things. And it was so helpful to have her here for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Because, you know, her mom's not doing too well and, you know, and so forth. But it was weird because we all have family members that really trigger us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have a couple of them that trigger the family. And because they're all playing a part in caring for the mom, it's very interesting seeing the family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of them in a lot of ways because they're opening up their...
I am too.
Out of necessity, they're opening up their views of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like
they have to.
Like they have to.
Yes.
Like, Doug has one brother who lives in the basement who is on disability, but for lack of a better word, is just an alcoholic, mm-hmm. and proud of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would say he is. I mean, mm-hmm. like, loves to drink, mm-hmm. loves to smoke pot, loves to hang out at the bars. Mm-hmm. That's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he has another sister. He's a brother like that. He has a sister that is, was in a major car accident, lost a leg. But before this, she was kind of, for lack of a better word, crazy. Before the car accident.
Yes.
She's
Which
always
has been
on
medication. Didn't heal that part of her.
No, it just intensified
right.
it because what she always loved to do was get medication
mm-hmm.
for everything.
Mm-hmm. Hence the car wreck,
because mm-hmm. she's always been on
yes.
heavy pain medications and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's been living in an apartment for years. I mean, this happened years ago, mm-hmm. her car accident. She's mm-hmm. just still, she can't figure it out. Can't figure out how to achieve her life or whatever. But on disability, and so she stepped into the stepped up to the plate to help out with the care of the mom, because the
Meaning
care
she left her apartment.
She left her apartment
and moved in with mom,
mostly because she needed to, because she was she was back on. Not able to pay rent and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, no, this is good. And I think the oldest sister, who is responsible for her mom's care mm-hmm. in some sense.
Which is just like can I just get
yes,
in right
go
here?
Go for it. I know what you're going to say.
Because the oldest sister, and this is a very interesting dynamic as far as I'm concerned, and I have likened her to the great and powerful Oz.
Right.
And she's the oldest sister, and everybody in the family of, like, 8 or 10 or 12, however many there are.
7.
Like, her word is like gold.
Right.
And she never comes visit, never participates, but whatever she, it's an edict, and everybody just does it.
Right. And it was always known that she would take care of, if anything happened to her mother,
right.
she'd be the one to take care of Bob,
right.
and she'd take care of her mom.
And their mom, right.
Yes, that was just the family
rule. And kind of, that came with a caveat, which is...
Until that time.
You go ahead and say it.
No.
Until that time where I have to take care of my mom or Bob, who is, he's disabled.
Yeah, special needs.
Yeah. And... I don't do anything with the family.
Right.
Except boss everybody around.
Really? From a distance.
From a distance, yes.
Literally, I have seen all of his siblings many, 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 many times. Many times over the 15 years. And she is the elusive one.
Right.
But she has the most control.
Right. She has this huge control. So hence I call her the great and powerful
aunt. Exactly.
But during these last several weeks, we have seen... that Toto has pulled back the curtain of the great and powerful Oz, and it's just a little man with a lot of smoke and mirrors and wheels.
And she's just praying that, she's just praying that two children of the mom, adult children in their 50s,
mm-hmm.
who did not have a real strong purpose for themselves, can pitch in, so they're not really doing anything right now, and take care of mom, and they're doing it. They're mm-hmm. just not doing it well, but that's okay.
Right.
They're doing it.
Yeah.
Sometimes just doing it is an A.
You bet.
So the other sister who lives in Tennessee came down for 2 weeks because she was a pharmacist and moved and looking for another job, whatever. But she was here for 2 weeks and mm-hmm. really helped out and so forth. But it was just funny seeing this whole dynamic. But what was going on is that because no one can get away from each other, people were being triggered and really had to, like every time I was out with a different sibling,
mm-hmm.
there had to be like this expelling of information.
Right.
Like, and so if I was out with Beth and Rick, they would have to tell me something like, I'm going insane. This is crazy. And I do know, because when I was be with Grandma, she was, those last several years or whatever, time stands still sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they want you near them, like completely right there with you, them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they're just worried and focused about the next medication,
mm-hmm.
the next pain, the fears. And that can get a little daunting and a little bit just, you know, wears on you. But it was so funny because, you know, the one daughter who's been on disability and who's, you know, kind of not all there, whatever, but is doing the best she can. I was out with Rick, and we were at this one cool traditional, it's called a traditional meditation place, and we were having soup and bread pudding there. It was delicious, and we were really enjoying the atmosphere. And he just goes, I just need to say this. I'm like, okay. He goes, ah, oh, I remember taking Drina out. This is like 3 or 4 years ago, and saying, you know, and to Olive Garden, and I have to say this because I was traumatized by her.
He said, I still have PTSD from that,
exactly.
From that meal.
Like, really? Cause, and he was telling me about, like, she fretted over the breadsticks, how they weren't cheese-covered, and what kind of sauce was she going to get? Was it going to be, is the tomato sauce too chunky?
Yeah.
Real smooth? And she goes, it was such a nightmare for me that I could barely stand it. And I let him know, I understand that it makes me feel like that person's world is too small.
Right.
We interviewed somebody a couple years ago, and I can't think of her name, but she was a lovely woman, and she was all about coaching people on how to be great into their golden years. And she always said to me, she goes, if she said in the interview, she goes, if you're worrying about the small stuff, your life's too small.
Yes, yes.
And I always remember that. I'm like, okay, why am I worrying about this? And
why are we worrying about the breadsticks?
Yeah, my life's too small.
Yeah.
And so I catch myself sometimes when I'm going, why am I worrying about this? And I'm like, oh, your life's too small.
So go ahead and tell the story about...
So this would be... This kind of goes what we're talking about a little bit today. So long story short, not. So I brought my story about her because I thought it was interesting. I said, you know, I was talking to her, and I really do my best talking to her. I like her. You know, I try and be there for her, and I know she's doing her best she can. And she doesn't do well with her two kids who are now like 20 or 19 and 32, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she was complaining about her daughter, and I just about had it because I like her daughter.
Yeah, we love her daughter.
Yeah, she's such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I can help you with this. I said I can unequivocally. If that's the right word. Help you with your relationship with your daughter because I have a great relationship with my mom and I know how to achieve it. And if you want me to tell you the secrets, I will tell you the secrets. I go, I don't know much, but I know this.
That's right.
And she's like, all right, sure. I'm like, okay, great. I go, let me just ask you one question. And I'm telling Rick this story. Mm-hmm. He's kind of fascinated, but he's kind of injecting already or interjecting or whatever, interrupting me already.
Mm-hmm.
I go, hey, can you forgive your daughter for whatever you think she has done to you to hurt you? All the things that you think she's done to hurt you, can you forgive her? Now, Rick has already interrupted me, like, she has nothing to, you know, there's nothing she could forgive her for.
I mean,
why would she have to forgive her? It's the other way around. You know,
he's not understanding this.
I'm like, I know. It's not about that. It's about the fact that she believes that she's been wronged by her daughter.
She believes she's been wronged by
everybody,
but particularly her son and her daughter.
Yes.
Do they have two different...
Yeah.
Baby daddies?
Yeah.
Okay.
And sorry. So I said to her, can you forgive her for everything that you think she's done? And her answer was, no, I really don't think I can.
No.
I'm
not
like,
at all.
Thank you for your honesty, and I can't help you.
I'm done here.
I'm not going to waste 1 ounce.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be here all week.
Boom. And I'm like, okay, cool. I want to say thank you for being honest with me.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that from her. Like, no, I really can't. I'm going to hold on to this. I'm like, awesome.
She's got to hold on to it.
And so years go by where they're still angry
at
you.
It's so amazing because the grandma, not Doug's mom, but the other grandma, raised her daughter because she was incapable of doing it.
Right.
And yet she holds, she's still angry at her daughter.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it is crazy.
Yeah. Well, we know that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's okay. And yeah. Also, too, we know, I was reading a little bit about Joseph Prince today,
mm-hmm.
and he said, you know, God has already forgiven you for your past, present, and future mistakes.
Right.
Sins. You know, stop being in sin consciousness.
Right.
It does nothing for you. And you and I have a course about forgiven consciousness.
Yes.
Because once you completely embrace the idea that you are forgiven and that you have forgiven everybody else.
Right.
I think in the Bible it says too, you must forgive others. So I can forgive you.
Right. Our Father, you know.
Yeah.
Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass
against
us. And there is that one quote, too, that, you know, when you ask, mm-hmm. give thanks with prayer and supplication, and you shall receive what you ask, but holding aught against anyone, forgiving anyone else.
Yes.
So, and including yourself.
Yes.
So it's like there's like all these steps, and the last one is to forgive.
Forgive yourself, forgive others.
Yes.
So then you can be forgiven.
Right.
And I remember.
So you can, yeah. I think you can just go with a pure heart.
Is it all about that?
Yes.
It really is about, I'm sorry, I'm a little lost my voice a little bit.
You are healed.
I am healed.
You do not need cough drops.
No, I do not. But it's about forgiving, being in forgiven consciousness
mm-hmm.
instead of sin consciousness.
Mm-hmm. And also, too, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but there's also that sense of, like, we've heard people just go, oh, I'm a loser. There's all this, like, condemnation.
Exactly.
That comes on you when you don't actively practice forgiveness for
right.
yourself first.
Right.
And others, and then I think that's why we know like our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have our moments,
of course.
But in general, we have that ground of freshness.
Yes.
Because we are always operating out of that forgiveness consciousness.
100%.
Yeah.
And that's where it starts with any relationship.
Yes.
If it's a long term one, and it's got a crack in it, you
yes.
know.
Yes.
I remember Doug was struggling with something, and I said, listen, I know you don't believe in the Bible. You know, you keep calling it the spaghetti God in the sky, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I know you go to church with Bob. You know, because Bob loves church, man, doesn't
mm-hmm.
he?
He
loves
it.
Church. And I said, you know the story about the woman and Jesus said, or no, it was the man. He goes, you know, you are forgiven of your sins. Now get up
yes.
and get going.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, I know that story. I go, okay, do you know what that story means? And he says, well, and he was silent, you know. I said, well, I go, Doug, as soon as you're willing to forgive yourself for whatever thing, you know, whatever you think you've done,
mm-hmm.
then you get up.
Right.
And you get towards the future.
Right.
You get moving.
Right.
You will feel better.
And also, you make different, you know, you and I talk a
yeah.
lot about decisions.
100, yes.
And you make different decisions based on how you perceive yourself.
Yeah.
Are you forgiven? Is your future forgiven? You know, do you have, God said, I've got a plan for you, a plan that gives you hope for
yes.
a future.
And see, all those things require you to, yeah, go ahead.
Right, if they're in your heart,
yes.
you make a quality decision from that space.
You know, going back to that one where you said about prayer, asking, thanksgiving,
right.
and then mm-hmm. believing like you've received it.
Right.
You've already have it, you received it, and forgiveness. You know, we wrote that program, the 4 A's to...
yes.
to attraction.
Yes.
You know, the 4 A's to manifest.
Right.
You know, it was ask, then it's answered.
Mm-hmm.
And then so the next one's alignment.
Yes.
And then action, of course.
Action.
But in that alignment process, when you are so filled with things that you need to be forgiven for,
mm-hmm.
or you need to forgive other people for, mm-hmm. there's no room for you to align.
To align anywhere.
No.
Alignment requires space.
It does.
And, like,
and new thinking.
Right. And if you think about, you know, just like blocks being out of alignment, like
yeah.
your spine being
right.
out of alignment, it's difficult to make a quality decision.
Yes, exactly.
When you're not in alignment, for sure. As you're drinking your
thank you water.
Water.
I'm just talking a mile a minute, so I hope that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a lot on my mind.
You're doing fine.
Oh, thank you,
friend.
Sweetie. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's the key. I mean, it's like clearing the clutter. You got to clear that clutter away.
Mm-hmm.
Get in alignment with what you want. And what that alignment means is when your beliefs and your actions are all focused on what you're desiring.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not looking to the left, not looking to the
Yay.
Right.
You're looking straight ahead.
Straight ahead.
Yeah.
Because if you look to the left, you're seeing people who failed.
This is so true. I mean, I was struggling one morning, and you reminded me of that quote, don't look to the left, because to the left was my brother and, you know, and
yeah.
what he was doing.
Yeah.
And to the right
retiring at 55.
Yeah, it was Norm's brother and what he's doing. And it's like, no, Chrissy, just look straight ahead.
Look straight ahead.
Your life.
Yes.
Do what you're being called to do.
Yes.
Know?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. And that's what alignment is. It's like get your nose out of somebody else's business or what you're looking at and what they have, because what they have is totally different than what you have.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And we all have our own purpose. And, you know, the Purpose-Driven Life, that book, I picked, you know, your aunt gave it to us about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I have tried to get to that book.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't sometimes. I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Mm-hmm. It felt a lot of condemning. Mm-hmm. There's some parts that I felt
yeah,
really condemning.
Yeah, you know, and you know what? That works for some people.
Yeah, it does.
But it doesn't work for us. We have to have a lot of, it has to make really good quality sense to us.
Well, it's a great, you know, I think if it works, and maybe I have to get to the whole book,
mm-hmm.
but if you take all that stuff and then you're like, and you're forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, good, thank God. Oh, thank God. Because I feel really bad right now.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I don't know.
Mm.
And so forth.
I know, because we do, man. Like when we hear some, you know, somebody we love just go like, I just can't do this enough. I can't be good enough. I can't be, you know, and it's like, oh, and they're trying so hard. They're doing.
Yeah. Or we think our purpose has to be huge.
Yes.
And we forget that sometimes we don't know who we touch and where their lives are going
right.
where their lives are going to go.
Yes. I think people get confused by that a lot. I know that even when I was, you know, years ago, you know, a therapist that, you know, had my mm-hmm. office and everything,
yeah.
you know, people would say, I must be, you know, or like, I must be not doing what my purpose is, because my purpose has to be a great
bigger
grandeur.
Than, yeah, a great grandeur,
kind of
yes.
like if you were doing, like, past lives, you're like, you had to be the queen of
yes.
denial or something, you know.
Exactly.
You know, you always think, like, I can't be doing my purpose because, you know, I live in Dixon, Illinois, and, you know, it's just
yeah.
love along. And,
yeah.
Know.
And so, and that's when you're like, well, what is my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your purpose is to be in good cheer.
Yes.
I can't think of his name, but Adam Carolla was interviewing him. He's a talk show host as well. The guy.
Jay Leno?
No. I think he's a conservative talk show host. But the reason why Adam Carolla likes him so much, he just has a very strong value system.
Oh, is it that guy that, I can't, you know, that...
Yeah.
Oh, what the heck's his name?
But he said...
We're kind of liking him a little bit, don't we?
I don't know if you know him very well.
Oh, okay.
But he was saying that really your main goal in life is to come to whatever situation with least a pleasant personality or a cheerfulness,
mm-hmm.
because otherwise you're the cause.
Yes, you're so much into the, you're the drama queen.
You're the drama.
Yeah.
And if everybody just came with being pleasant,
mm-hmm.
life would be so much better.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. And
I think about my mom.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have had a whole different childhood and everything mm-hmm. if she could have just been just pleasant.
I wouldn't have been born. So, I
didn't have to make that mad escape at 18.
Exactly. So some of them go, well, maybe we're meant to have a little conflict in our lives to get us to go where we're supposed to go. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you had been so happy that you fell in love with Dad because you were so happy.
That's right.
Not because you're like, oh, you're a good guy because all I see is crap around me.
Yeah. How did I know?
Yeah, exactly. You would have said, oh, you're a good guy because I see a lot of good guys around me.
That's right.
So maybe that's how it would have worked.
That's true.
I'm just projecting. I have no idea. I like to think that either way, I would have been your daughter.
You are. That's true.
I like to think that
was like when we went around the table and what we were thankful for. I was thankful that you were my daughter.
Yes, I think I said the same thing about you, that you were my daughter. And I'm like, I'm thankful for that.
You know what, though? The pecan pie this year was not up to snuff.
Nor was the pumpkin. Nothing tasted right.
Yeah, really.
And everything had the same texture, which was cream.
Yeah, it was just kind of that, what the heck, Julie? Thank God we had Fargo.
Yes. So as we're kind of getting closer to the end of the show, mm-hmm. and I didn't talk about superstition, which I might talk about next time.
Oh, yeah, that would have been cool.
I will leave you with this thought, though, real quick, before we make one more closing thoughts.
Yes.
It was talking about this little article in October's Real Simple magazine. You know, I mean, nothing. You're not really getting all the details. You're just getting a real surface.
You get the real simple part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Hence the title.
But what they're talking about, that magical thinking, and that's what believing in supernatural is all about,
mm-hmm.
and ghosts, and you know, I would even think law of attraction possibly you could put it there, and maybe even God. I don't know, depending on what you believe. But it says this. It said people were supposed to make 10 putts. Half the subjects were given a ball, and they were told that this ball was lucky, and other people got a decent ball. They didn't know it was special or not. And the people who got the lucky ball, they scored 34% better than the people who didn't get the lucky ball.
Oh, my gosh.
And all they were told was...
It's just because they told them.
Yes. And so here's...
So one was a placebo ball.
Yes, one was a placebo. They both were placebo balls, I guess.
And they had some placebo putzes.
Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, like, I love it because William Shakespeare said, and this is my quote for November 22nd, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking it makes it so.
Makes it so.
So if you've got a ball that's lucky,
mm-hmm.
and I know that's how Dad got you because he said he has some lucky balls. and you believed it.
I believed in those balls.
They're like, we've got some lucky balls. I'm there. I just see those lucky balls.
I got the lucky balls.
In my hands. Oh, no, that's horrible thought. Horrible thinking, people. Horrible thinking. Get your mind out of the gutter. And as we're kind of closing the show tonight, I want everybody to decide right now.
What is it?
Well, it's December's coming. We just ended Thanksgiving, and from now until Christmas, it seems like a blur usually.
Yes.
And so I want everybody to decide right now that it doesn't have to be a blur. It doesn't have to be all about preparation for that one big day.
Oh, thank you.
And what else could it be about?
Could it be about a manger?
Yes.
A little baby.
Okay, this is the reason for the season. Thank God for that thing. Oh, I would never remember. Thank God it rhymes.
It could be peace on earth.
But I was thinking more like this. Okay. What if you change the reason for the season?
Uh-huh.
From now until December, like Christmas. Like, what if you said, you know what, during this time I'm going to read two books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to learn my ukulele. You know?
Yes.
Take the focus off consumerism.
Yes.
Take the focus off
Black Friday.
Yes, which starts on Thursday.
Cyber Monday.
Exactly. Or, like, can I possibly make something different for Thanksgiving, for Christmas whatever?
Yes.
Did I buy enough for the grandkids?
Yeah. Oh,
will they like
God.
It, please? Will they like it?
Yeah. Maybe just concentrate on having the lucky ball.
Yes. And come see us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. Pick up our book on Amazon.
What's our book called, Julie?
The Clutterfly Effect. Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life.
Mm-hmm.
And, Mom, how did the show tonight?
You know what? It was great.
It was great.